American Airlines is having a nightmare summer.
It's primarily the mechanics situation that is separating American from the rest of the airline world.
Plus, Airbus is set to overtake Boeing as the world's biggest plane manufacturer.
It's just a very strong symbol in a way for the crisis that Boeing is in right now.
And Netflix is losing friends. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story of the morning, just what's led to American Airlines' terrible summer, here's what you missed. For 7 years, Boeing has been the world's biggest plane manufacturer, but that's about to change after the company said its deliveries fell by more than a third in the first half of this year. So the title now goes to their European rival, Airbus. To find out why, I rang up our aerospace reporter, Robert Wall, in London. So Robert, what happened?
So kind of the bragging rights as world largest plane maker, which is just that, bragging rights, is something that we basically calculate, but who delivered more planes in the prior year? And that's been, as you said, Boeing for the last couple of years. And this year, that's going to go to Airbus. And it's really not surprising, but the half-year numbers that are just in really underscore that. The MAX has been grounded now since mid-March. There's the planes are sitting idle at Boeing that have been built, over 150 MAXs that have not gone to airlines. So Boeing's deliveries have slumped sharply, as you point out. And Airbus, meanwhile, is cranking out more and more of its planes and has gone up in production of the rival A320.
Does it matter who's biggest?
It doesn't matter in a single year. And in the way it matters is sometimes difficult to tell. But obviously, if you're bigger, you have more scale, and potentially that is something that gives you more leverage in pricing and other things. But, they have gone back and forth for, Boeing for years and years and years was the largest. And then I think it was in 2002 or so, Airbus for a few years took the crown. And that was a big deal because that was the first time the Europeans had that title. And then it went back again to Boeing and now it's shifting. It was probably going to happen in the next couple of years anyway, just how production plans are going. But it's just a very strong symbol in a way for the crisis that Boeing is in right now.
And former vice president and current Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden earned $15.6 million in the 2 years after he left the Obama administration. That's according to newly released financial documents. He made his money through speaking engagements, sales of his 2017 book, and his role as a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. And I'm sorry to say that Friends won't be there for you on Netflix come 2020. The show is owned by Warner Brothers, whose parent company AT&T said it would be pulling the show and putting it on its own streaming platform, HBO Max, which will launch next spring. It's the second most streamed show on Netflix behind The Office, which will also leave the platform come 2021. A Netflix spokesperson said, quote, "We're sorry to see Friends go to Warner's streaming service at the end of 2019. Thanks for the memories, gang." Now, our main story this morning. American Airlines is having a nightmare summer. The world's largest airline canceled 7,500 domestic and international flights in June alone. So what's leading to the problems? Charlie Turner has been speaking to our Mitzi columnist, Scott McCartney, to find out more.
Scott, you write that this summer has been a travel nightmare for a million people who had the misfortune to travel on American Airlines. June was a particularly terrible month. I assume there were delays and cancellations galore. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's really a hard situation for travelers. It's a combination of a dispute the company's having with its mechanics union and the stress of summer weather. Summer storms, we get that every year. They've been particularly bad this year. At American, in June, they canceled 4% of their flights. And that doesn't sound like a whole lot when you first hear it, but any airline worth its salt can complete about 99% of its flights. The cancellations really shouldn't be over 1%, but American at 4%, If you compare rates, Americans' cancellation rate was 18 times higher than Delta. So it all translates into about 7,500 flights in June. That alone is about 750,000 people. And this has been going on for a while. April and May were bad as well. But it's primarily the mechanics situation that is separating American from the rest of the airline world.
Tell us about the large number of American airline planes out of service because of maintenance issues. This seems like a pretty serious problem.
Yeah, it is a serious problem. I don't think it's a safety issue. I think it's a labor dispute issue. There's been a lot of union communication to its workers about how important this summer is in their contract negotiations and encouraging them to be very careful with their work. And you see that the mechanics are working slower. So a lot of mechanical work is scheduled, routine stuff is scheduled to happen overnight. And if it doesn't happen, then that plane's not ready to go in the morning. So Americans had typically in the last few weeks, 55 to 60 aircraft out of service first thing in the morning. That number is usually around 40. And so those additional problems mean a bunch of canceled flights. American says, and the union doesn't deny it, there's been a lot of talk at airports about not complying with overtime requests. So a lot of union members are not working overtime. They're also refusing what's called field trips, where the airline has to send a mechanic out to an airport, could be anywhere, somebody with a specialty or an airport without the right mechanics, and they get planes fixed that way. Traditionally, mechanics have loved overtime and they love field trips. It's premium pay, but by sort of withdrawing that service, it's created a lot more planes that just aren't available to fly.
And also added to that, you know, if the cause of a canceled flight was bad weather, American wouldn't pay for a hotel or meals.
Yeah, that's right. And this gets really tricky. I've talked to travelers who were delayed by a mechanical issue, blamed on the mechanic's slowdown. And then they finally get going 3 or 4 hours late and storms blow in and the flight ends up getting canceled. And American says, well, that's a weather delay. So we're not going to pay for a hotel or meals because it's not our fault. We're not responsible for Mother Nature. And this is an expensive problem for travelers because you can get stuck for 2 or 3 days in a city with the summertime loads. There just aren't a whole lot of empty seats.
Scott, you have some tips for air passengers whose travel plans get disrupted. Why don't you share a few tips with us?
Yeah, I think some of these specific to the American situation, but just in general, good summer travel practices. Fly early in the day. Thunderstorms are the big threat to summer travel, and they build with the heat of the afternoon. I think it's really important to give yourself extra time. I talk to, you know, business travelers who have can't miss meetings on Monday morning, and so they go Saturday instead of flying in on Sunday. You know, that's inconvenient. That can be expensive, but I think it's really prudent when air travel itself becomes unreliable.
You can find Scott's column up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We'll head to Japan today, where companies are finally buying back some of their shares. That might seem like old news, but it's actually a relative rarity compared to the U.S., where buybacks are quite common. So to find out what's changed, I rang up our markets reporter, Surya Bhattacharya, in Tokyo. So Surya, what's changed?
What's changed is that Japanese companies are not sitting on cash piles as much as they are used to. They have been trying to manage cash piles for a while now because prices are still falling in Japan's decades of stagnation. And that's why they're prone to hoarding cash. Or as Kathy Matsui from Goldman Sachs says, debt is evil, cash is king in a market like this. So sitting on these cash piles, you know, the return on equity for Japan shares is lower and they're undervalued, which brings us to why now. Why now is because regulators and reforms have kicked in. Regulators have a heightened scrutiny on idle cash, and shareholders, both because of the corporate governance code and the stewardship code, are becoming more vocal in demanding better returns. And activism here is starting to play somewhat of a role, and also individual and institutional investors are speaking up.
And what kind of companies are we talking about here?
We're talking about some very big names here, both what investors would consider, you know, value shares or growth shares. You have all of them in here. You have names like Sony, Nomura, as well as SoftBank.
How does that compare to the US?
The buybacks that are happening in Japan for Japan markets are huge, but compared to the US, still very small. You know, S&P, Dow Jones indices data show that companies in the S&P spent about $806 billion last year on buybacks. Compared to that, Japan last year spent about announced $55.6 billion worth of share purchases last year. So there's a big difference there.
And now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. This week, federal prosecutors in New York charged the hedge fund manager Jeffrey Epstein with two counts related to sex trafficking of minors, although he's pled not guilty. Now, Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta is defending how he handled Mr. Epstein's case 10 years ago when he was the U.S. attorney in Miami. Back then, Mr. Acosta struck a deal with Mr. Epstein that critics now have said was too lenient. Democrats are calling for his resignation. On Twitter, Mr. Acosta said, quote, "With the evidence available more than a decade ago, federal prosecutors insisted that Epstein go to jail, register as a sex offender, and put the world on notice that he was a sexual predator." Mr. Acosta said he supported the fresh effort by prosecutors to, quote, "more fully bring him to justice." Finally, days after a British newspaper published leaked diplomatic cables in which the British ambassador to the U.S., Sir Kim Derrick, called the president clumsy and inept, Mr. Derrick resigned. In a statement, he said the leak had made it impossible for him to carry out his role as he would like. The leak set off a war of words on Twitter between the president and some in the British government, with President Trump saying he'd no longer work with Mr. Derrick. That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.